The Bible study on KFUO Radio is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, centered in the gospel of Jesus Christ in faithfulness, servanthood, responsiveness, and excellence, Concordia Seminary.
Good morning and welcome. This is the Bible study on KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us today. Again, another one of those, you're going to have to cover up that window. I look out, there's this big window that looks out onto this big lobby that then looks out onto this very small window. And I can see just a little bit of the campus of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. And it looks gorgeous out there, hot but gorgeous. It's one of those days you just want to play outside. Joining us today to get into the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John is Pastor Marty Springer. He's pastor, well, it's appropriately named congregation for our text today, Trinity Lutheran Church, and you're over in, oh, let me see here.
Edwardsville, Illinois.
Are we playing baseball? Go Cards! That's okay, they swept the Cubs.
They did.
Thanks be to God.
Obviously not a Cubs fan, I take it.
I have learned that the folks that are endeared to this radio station tend to be Cardinal fans. So whether I was or not, it would not be something I would confess in public like this. How are you, Pastor?
I'm doing well, thank you. It's great to be here. Always good to be back on KFUO.
Yes, I think it's been a couple of years since
you and I have worked together. Exactly.
We've got a lot of text, a lot of ground to cover. You know, I don't know. We could do hours on just a couple of the verses out of here. The way, the truth, and the life.
You know, this is my favorite passage. I very seldom do a funeral that I don't include this text or preach on this text. Some of the most comforting words of Scripture, and John gives it to us straight.
And you know, I'm going away. There are many mansions. Show us the Father.
He's laying the whole thing out. And the disciples don't quite get it, and sometimes we don't get it, but he still loves us and forgives us and is there for us.
Gee, Pastor, is there a reason we're compared to sheep? could this be it?
Bah! Never.
Well, it's a great day. We are all in good spirits here at KFUO for the Bible study. Let's start with prayer.
We'll do that. The Collect for the Word, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Grant, we beseech you, Almighty God, unto your church your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom which comes from above, that your word among us may not be bound, but have free course, and be taught to the upbuilding and edifying of us your people. This we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know those numbers. Go ahead and use them. Questions and comments are great here on the Bible study. Love hearing from our regulars. If you've never called us before, why not?
Call now.
Today would be a great day to do that.
We want your input. We want your opinions. We want your questions. As I tell my own parishioners, dumb looks are still free. I don't have all the answers, but Roland does.
Oh, yeah. They're not necessarily right, but I'll give you one. Yeah. Let's begin the text. John chapter 14. Under the heading of I Am the Way, the Truth, and the Life, and we are assigned up until verse 14 for today's text. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you will be also. And you know the way... And you know, this is, my brain keeps saying, stop, and I've got so many questions for you this morning, but we're going to go through the text, because
okay.
I don't want to interrupt you when we get into a flow here, okay? And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus said to him, I have been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip. Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and that the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. And that's where the text ends for today. You know, I don't know whether to start at the beginning or start at the end.
It's a tough call.
It is, because there's so much bad theology out there with that last verse.
And that's what scares me. I was just talking to one of our members day before yesterday, who has a relative who keeps throwing into her face this name it and claim it aspect. Churches are doing a disservice to their members by teaching this and emphasizing this, because it is a false doctrine. You know, were that true, then you and I would both have Maseratis in our garages and
who says
palatial.
I don't? I
stand corrected. I stand corrected. I have a VW Bug, a 1966 VW Bug in my garage. You know, palatial mansions. So long as the prayer is preferenced with, yes, Lord, I would like this, but your will be done. Jesus set that up for us himself. And to pray anything other than that is just false doctrine.
See, that's the hard part. It's kind of like vengeance is mine. We tend to forget the second half
of
that.
Yeah, we do. We really do.
You know, according to my Father's will. Well, what is the will of the Father? If I want that Maserati, doesn't God want me to be happy? And that's what will make me happy, trust me.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For a while.
Or even a 66 Bug.
For a while.
What a classic.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For a while. And yeah. Until you want something else that's going to make you
happy. Well, then he'll give me that too.
Well, absolutely.
And if he doesn't, I must be doing something wrong.
Well, if he doesn't, your faith isn't strong enough, which what does that do then? Undermine you. Well, there's something wrong with me. Obviously I'm sinful, but I must be worse than the other guy if I'm being told name it and claim it.
Right.
I'm naming it and yet I'm not claiming it.
So it's wow. I don't know why that's so. Why do you think? Now you are in an interesting position here as a pastor who does not preach or teach that philosophy.
True.
But why do you think it's so popular?
Three-letter word. S-I-N.
Sin.
We are selfish, sinful human beings who live in a sinful, selfish, Madison Avenue-influenced world. And I want what I want. And if you drive this car or drink this beer or drink this soda, or wear these clothing, this particular brand of clothing, you're going to be happy, you're going to be popular, you're going to be successful. That's what Madison Avenue tells us.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, aspects of the church have bought into that and are just, excuse me for saying it, but are blowing the hell out of Scripture. They're off the mark. You know, am I saying that God can't do it? Of course not.
Right.
I'm saying, if you earnestly want it, by all means pray it. He knows what you want. You might as well articulate it with that caveat, thy will be done. What would happen if Jesus had said, Father, don't let them nail me to that cross, period? Did he do that?
No.
He said, his humanity cried out, and he said, don't let them do this to me. But he said, not my will, but yours be done.
Because if he had gotten up and walked away from Gethsemane,
we would be in deep water.
Yeah. You know, don't let not your hearts be troubled. The congregation I belonged to many years ago, when my 14-year-old was just about four, we did a little Bible dedication where the kids would come up and we would give them their first Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked the parents to write a little inscription in the front of that Bible. This is the verse that I used.
You know,
let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And I think she still has that Bible.
I'm sure that she does.
Yeah.
And elsewhere Jesus says, in the world you are going to have trouble. He doesn't promise, you know, smooth sailing, but he promises that he's going to be with us. And this particular passage simply emphasizes that. I'm with you. You know, I'm not going to break my promises.
It's what's interesting here is, you know, we start at this verse, "Let not your hearts be troubled," and you kind of miss what came before this. You know, we've had the foot washing, we've had the talk about dying, we've had the talk about all these different things.
The disciples, were either cut to the quick or were absolutely clueless. One of the two. More than likely, they were absolutely clueless. Especially when he even goes so far as to say, one of you is going to verbally betray me. One of you is going to physically betray me. Back it up even further, they think that they're there for the Passover, and Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood." Their heads had to be spinning.
You know, Marty, when you get home, somebody will have stolen your 66 Beetle, your dog will have run away, and your house will have burned to the ground. Don't let your heart be
that's
troubled.
That's right. That's what he's telling me. Look at those people in Joplin who have nothing.
Yeah.
This needs to be emphasized to those people. As heartbroken as they are, and somebody's going to say, "Oh, you know, that's the trite answer. Put words into actions. Don't just yak. You know, give them something." And we are, you know, people are reaching out through our Missouri district. Our congregation has adopted a specific family in Joplin that we're collecting for, as well as door offerings that we're going to send to President Murley to send to them. But what more comfort can you get than words of Scripture? And even in a situation where the people have absolutely nothing, everything that they own is gone, Jesus is still saying, "I'm right there with you."
See, this is why I wanted to bookend the beginning with the end, and I started at the end, because this is the critical thing of this text. It's not the "let not your hearts be troubled." It says, "Believe in God." And the hidden question there is, what do you believe about God?
Absolutely.
In this circumstance?
Because in our anything goes world, God is whomever you want him to be. If you're a druid and you want to worship a tree, then yeah, that's your God. You know, this goes along with, this leads us into, I am the way, the truth, the life. This takes that broad, politically correct interpretation and absolutely narrows it down to the very narrowest end of the funnel when Jesus says, "Okay, guys, I can't give it to you any straighter than this. There is no other way to do this. Not a way, the truth, the life."
Yeah, I think the, if I remember, I think the word that would apply here when it comes to this world because of sin, das ist verstunken. This world stinks.
It stinks.
Don't be surprised when tornadoes come along. You know, this is not God's making.
You know, in the pericopes, last week before, it said exactly that. It said, you shouldn't be surprised that bad things are going to happen. It shouldn't be surprised that you have that cross to bear, but bear it as a Christian. You know, stop griping. Jesus said, "Let me help you shoulder that." That doesn't mean that the cross is not going to be there, but it means that he's on that one cross piece and you're on the other cross piece. They're resting on your shoulder and his, and that he's going to get you through it.
Pastor Marty Springer is here on the Bible Study, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. First 14 verses of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John is where we're working our way through today. If you have a question or comment, now would be a great time to call in. You know, this confusion reigns here, and you know, show us the Father. Where are you going? We don't know. Does it amaze you that in 2,000 years we still ask? With the benefit of history and hindsight,
absolutely,
and theology and the
absolutely
Reformation and the Book of Concord and all these things, and even, you know, a mighty fortress about, you know, child and wife and all this.
But the thing is, Roland, again, it's sin. You know, we are a tangible race. We want something that we can touch and taste and feel and sense. That's the blessing of the sacraments, because through those means of grace, we have that tangibility that, you know, he could just say, yeah, I forgive you, take my word for it. But but he gives us the tangible to cling to because we need it. You know, this Thomas's statement here goes right along with the post-Easter, unless I see the nail prints in his hands, unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe. And that's us. That's you and that's me, whether we want to admit it or not. You know, you're a Missourian. I'm an Illinoisan. What do they call Missourian? What do they call Missouri? The show, among other things.
In Illinois?
No, among other things, the show me state. I'm right. not going to believe it until
right.
I see it.
Right.
And that's that those sin blinded eyes. What I really pick up on in this, aside from the comforting aspect, is that Jesus had every right to get right in Thomas's face and say, "What in the heck are you thinking? How much plainer could I give it to you?" He didn't wag his finger at him. He didn't holler at him. He didn't chastise him. In fact, with the ear of faith, I can hear Jesus calmly saying, "Read my lips. Listen to what I'm telling you. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life." You know, again, it also goes to that, "I'm going to prepare a place for you." Well, there's a footnote in the study Bible that says that we think of it perhaps as a motel or a hotel room, something temporary, something transient. You know, unless you live in a hotel, it's going to be transient. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the permanency of that heavenly dwelling where Jesus has gone to prepare the place for us. Permanent. Eternal.
No, wait. You're actually speaking to me as if heaven were a real place. Now, I know that sounds odd to say, but today...
Again, you know, you're going to hear a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's a state of mind. It's what you make it on earth. How many times have you heard that? You know, you can either make it a heaven on earth or you can make it a hell on earth, but do one of the two because there's nothing else afterwards. Again, it's that anything goes theology. Make it up as you go, fly by the seat of your pants.
So what's heaven going to be like? This place that Jesus is preparing for us?
You know, I wish I could tell you. I can guarantee you what it's not going to be like. You know, we will not become angels because we know that angels are separate entities. We're not going to be looking down on earth in this sin-sick cesspool. How do we know that? Because how could you look out of heaven on what's going on earth and still remain blissfully happy? Okay. I don't think we're going to be floating around on clouds plucking harps. Are the streets going to be paved with gold? I don't know. I think that scripture writers were trying to help us appreciate, help the reader appreciate heaven in a way that it was something that we could relate to. I don't know if the streets are going to be paved with gold. I know this. I know that we will see Jesus face to face. I know that we'll see and recognize, although not in the same way, those who have gone before us who have died in the faith. That, having lost my parents and my brother, that really brings me an enormous amount of peace, as if seeing Jesus weren't going to be good enough, and that really is the ultimate, but seeing those who have gone before us who have died in the faith, that is so comforting. You know, to get back to your question, I don't know what it's going to be like. I know that as extreme as the streets of gold sound, and the clear river, and the trees with every kind of fruit on them, that as far-fetched as that sounds, what I cling to is no sadness, no sorrow, no tears, the perfection, ultimately the perfection of the resurrected body, you know, no hearing aids, no prostheses, no glasses.
As we look at each other through
as
our glasses.
As we look at each other through our trifocals. It's that perfect bliss of being in the presence of the one who loved us more than anybody could, who literally loved us to death.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You know, You have to remember, I think, when you read this, maybe there's good reason for the confusion, because Jesus withdraws into the wilderness many times. You know, he wants to get away from folks, you know, goes across the Sea of Galilee.
Sure.
Crowds follow him.
Sure.
All this. So, I mean, these guys are still in a literalistic state of mind.
They are.
He is physically going somewhere nearby,
and
he'd done so many times before.
And just to touch on that, I like to go back to what I call the Barnum and Bailey situation. That's why Jesus really limited the number of miracles that he did, because it wasn't about the miracles. It was about personal relationships. It was about people knowing him and having that intimate relationship with him. And he wanted to avoid that circus atmosphere that surrounded him everywhere he went. No wonder he was burned out. He had to be. You know, people clinging on him. You know, give me this, give me that, do this, do that. I don't know how he did it. Hmm. Again, purely divine, purely human. His humanity had to, at times, literally be tearing his hair out. So, you know, so he did need those times to get away, and I can see your connection. Oh, well, the master is gonna take a retreat. He's going to take a break. He's going to go to the wilderness, or he's going to go off by himself again. No. And you have to remember, too, the position that the disciples were in. I'm with you 3 years, then I'm not going to be with you. I'm back, and by the way, I'm going to be leaving again.
And even though I'm not here, I will always be with you.
Exactly.
Oh.
Their heads had to be spinning.
Yeah. Like I said, 2,000 years, and we still ask the same question.
Absolutely.
It's when you look at the different translations, ESV, NIV, King James, whichever, I tell you, you know, when it comes down to rooms, like our text in the ESV said, rooms in my file, versus mansions, wouldn't you rather have a mansion than a room?
In this life, I would. By the time we get to heaven, it's going to be moot.
There aren't levels of heaven. There aren't rewards laid up in heaven. Treasure, you know.
Don't be preaching false doctrine on the radio.
I'm just asking.
To answer your question,
I'm just asking.
No, there are not levels in heaven. Again, it's the translation. If Jesus wants to put me in a studio instead of a penthouse, then I'm going to take my studio and I'm going to be happy.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Pastor, let's grab a quick call from Bev.
Good.
You're on with Pastor Springer. Go ahead.
Bev, thank you for calling. Good morning.
Good morning. I can't find my, I can find my glasses, but they're like, I have two broken pairs.
That's okay. That's
like
okay.
I'm upside it, so I'm all over, John.
That's
I'm
all right.
Like,
okay,
not
we're in.
Exactly where you are.
Okay,
but I'm,
we're in 14, beginning at 1.
Okay.
And this is, you hear this often as a funeral text, as a very comforting text, beginning, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me."
Okay, we have 1 minute till the break.
Okay,
1 minute to the break.
My question has to do with trust. I'm, to me, when I hear you say that, I think about trust.
Absolutely.
And it seems to me that we have a big problem in the world, you know, with trusting in God, because there's so many other things that are, you know,
pressing in on us.
Glamorous.
Sure, sure.
You know.
You know, and let's face it, in this world, trusting in God is not glamorous. It's alien to the world because of our sin. And so this is all about trust. You could very easily use believe in God. You could very easily use a synonym, trust in God, trust also in me. I think you're right on the money, Bev.
Thank you.
Thank you for the call, Bev. When we get back, we'll continue through the text we're assigned today, which is the first 14 verses of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. Pastor Marty Springer is our guest pastor today. I'm Roland Lettner. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be back after these short messages. Thank you.
Concordia Seminary has four core values, and one core value is excellence. People today demand the very best. Even people who ignore or misrepresent God's word of truth often strive for excellence. So shouldn't we strive all the more for excellence in our churches and seminary? Pastoral leaders will hold excellence high, helping invite people to the truth of our message.
Meet Horace Cleveland. You could call him temperamental.
Lazy dog! Can't you drive any faster?
But on a vacation in Italy with his mother...
I saw something. The woods.
Things take a sudden turn.
Oh, I'm sure it isn't anything to... Driver! Giacomo!
He's kidnapped by a band of robbers. Now he has 7 days to live. Don't miss The Robber's Cave.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
I'm Pastor Doug Nicely. Do you have a minute? For anyone who has done some teaching over the years, we have learned the most enduring lessons are learned when students face the consequences of their own bad decisions. But what happens when students refuse to learn their lessons? There finally comes a time when all second chances will be exhausted. As we have been looking at the chapters from the Bible's book of Revelation in recent weeks, we knew that we would come to such a failure time as the world comes to an end. Listen to these proclamations. And then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, "So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of the harpist and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and all who have been slain on the earth." We hear the words, "no more, no more, no more." There will come a time when all of our rationales attempting to picture ourselves as being not so bad, we can point to others as worse, are exposed as self-justification. And we can't save ourselves from our sins. Even our rationales can't do it. Only Jesus can. But there is good news for us in the face of all of this destruction. Listen to Jesus' words. "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." Let's pray. Lord, help us to see the limitations of all things earthly and then teach us to long for things eternal. For we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior, who saves us from our sins. Amen.
In Psalm 61, David the psalmist has written, "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. That's my goal for Jubilation every Sunday afternoon, to lead you to the rock that is higher than you are. Great music, prayer, Bible-based thoughts, humor, all blended together in a pleasing sort of way, I pray. That's Jubilation, Sundays from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on KFUO Radio.
Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Bible study on listener-supported KFUL Radio. Guest pastor in the hot seat today is Pastor Marty Springer from Trinity Lutheran Church. We haven't even gotten to the Trinity yet.
Not yet, but we're coming.
In Edwardsville.
Now, I have to correct you, Roland. We are Trinity Lutheran Ministries because we are emphasizing our unity as church and school and daycare. Notice that, our new logo and our new name, and we are... Now,
but you've got four logos. You only mentioned three things.
Don't
pardon me for noticing.
Please don't split hairs. Anyway, Trinity Lutheran Ministries, Water and Fillmore Streets in Edwardsville.
Edwardsville. I don't know the last time I've been. I think I've driven past it.
Well, this is going on my fourth year at Trinity Edwardsville. We love the Edwardsville area. The Lord's blessing our congregation. In fact, we got Vacation Bible School coming up next week.
Oh, yeah.
Monday through Friday from 8 to noon. Yes, it is. And so ages 2 through 6th grade, I believe. And we're looking forward to having people participate in VBS.
VBS is always fun.
Always fun.
Especially if you have a child that is in a Lutheran high school, either over there in Edwardsville. Or doing VBS, that counts for service
you bet
for service
does.
Hours,
you,
doesn't it?
You bet it does.
Yeah,
and
it's a lot of fun, too.
My associate, Pastor Shank, and our DCE, Eric Dunn, have taken charge of it. We've got just a huge volunteer corps that's taking it over, as you said, including students from Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
I'm Roland Lettner, and you can call us with a question or comment as we work our way through the balance of the 14 verses at the beginning of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, 505.
Sorry to interrupt you. Let's talk about the Trinity. Jesus is, it could not be any more plain here, and obviously my parish is named Trinity, as many are.
Right.
My home parish in Southern California was also Trinity. It's important that we see the Trinity plainly and clearly portrayed in this chapter. I think probably the only place where it might be more plain would be Jesus' baptism at the Jordan, where all three manifest themselves either visually or vocally. You know, here Jesus absolutely says this is that, especially the emphasis of his unity with the Father. These non-Trinitarian groups just kill me, how they can pick and choose, how they can excise something and have Scripture stand alone, and then ignore everything else that plainly states the Trinitarian aspect. Well, that's a man-made term. Some council just came up with that. That's not scriptural. Bull. Excuse me, but bull.
I believe that is a theological term.
Yes, it is.
The papal bull.
Yes,
that's what we're talking about.
Exactly.
No. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Before we continue on the Trinity, Pastor, let's go to Rick. Rick, good morning. You're on with Pastor Springer.
Rick, thank you for calling. Where are you calling from?
Nashville, Illinois, sir.
Well, great. That's good Lutheran country.
Yes, it is.
What can we do for you this morning?
Well, I was trying to get back in on the station before you got back into the seriousness of Scripture. I know you were saying something about the Cardinal Cubs earlier.
I saw
a cute
You're not
t-shirt.
A Cubs fan, are you?
No,
okay.
Sir. I saw a cute T-shirt at the stadium. A little infant was wearing it that said, "That's not my diaper that stinks." And Roland?
Yes, sir.
If you see or speak to Mr. Rafford, tell him that he's in my prayers.
If I can, Rick, Chuck is a member of my parish in Edwardsville.
I thought he was.
And I will certainly pass that on.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. It's always nice to have just a light moment or
yes,
two
it
as
is.
Well. Speaking of the Trinity, let's go all the way back to the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Okay?
Okay.
No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known.
I mean, duh. Come on. Come on now.
So we're repeating ourselves 14 chapters later.
Well, and you know, John does so much, you know, I think he's known for that aspect of darkness versus light, goodness versus sin, but the plainness of the unity in the Trinity and Trinity in unity, the oneness of the Father and the Son. You know, we're coming up on Pentecost this coming week.
Wear red.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Cardinal red. you know, I
do plan these things out, and I love it when the pastor gets it.
I just play right along with Roland. We've been known to play together very nicely. I don't get it. probably my stubborn Germanness is there.
That's why we get along so well.
That must be it. But to ignore 99% of Scripture and have 1% of Scripture stand alone in a denial of the Trinity absolutely boggles my mind.
Hmm.
It just and there are, you know, and a non-Trinitarian church is headquartered right here in St. Louis, you know, just out by the airport. I just don't get it. I don't get it.
Well, as my pastor has said, Chuck Spomer is my pastor over at Ascension at the corner of Donovan and Eichelberger.
There you go.
That's not a plug.
There you go. No, not a plug.
Same effect. That, you know, all of these other belief systems, even the ones that may call themselves Christians, when you take something like that and you pull that little thread, the whole thing
it unravels like a cheap sweater.
That's why they have to cling to those things, even though you can demonstrate from Scripture they are absolutely wrong. Let's continue with the phone calls. Ron, good morning. You're up next with Pastor Springer. What's your question or comment?
Well, I was thinking about a statement that you had made earlier about no distinctions in heaven.
Yes.
And then I was thinking about the parables that Jesus talked about. One man will be ruler over 10 cities and one over 5.
Sure.
And I was thinking, what about their, not salvation, but rewards? Well, and the Apostle Paul, I'm sure he's going to have a rank on a lot of us in some way.
Well, you know what? I appreciate your question. You know, I said when we started out, dumb looks are still free. My understanding, again, is when you start talking about levels in heaven and rewards, we as sinful people, the first thing that we start wanting to do is pat ourselves on the back. My dad used to say, don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. When we start talking about levels, it's, well, I'm better than you are, my faith is stronger than yours, I've been a better person than you are. That's what muddies the water. Because the bottom line is, it is not about me. It's about Jesus. It's about His spent blood. It's about faith in Him. And again, I see your position. I certainly do understand it. I think that those examples are opportunities that Jesus used to be didactic, to tell a parable, to perhaps better help people understand when they didn't understand. Now, again, you certainly have a right to your opinion. I'm always leery when we as sinful people want to muddy the waters by saying, well, I'm going to be at a higher level than you are, or you're going to be at a higher level than I am.
Ron, let me toss this out for you and Pastor Springer. What about, some call it the parable of the wages or the parable of the laborers.
Right.
Men hired at the start of the day, middle of the day, end of the day.
Right.
And at the end of the day, they're all paid the same.
That's right.
And the ones who've been there all day aren't real happy about this.
No,
they expect more, and what does God say?
Exactly. He says, no. He says no levels is what he's saying. I'm sorry that... Do you see where we're coming from, Ron?
Yes, I do.
You know, and again, you're certainly entitled to your opinion. I just don't want anything to interfere with faith alone.
See, it's the question of the sons of Zebedee.
There you go.
Can I sit on your left? Can you drink the
That's
cup?
That's right. That's
because
right.
Because it's all about position and place.
That's right. Which I believe by the time we get to heaven, I don't care where I'm going to be as long as I'm there, and as long as I'm in His presence, and as long as I'm there to glorify Him. If I have to sing in the back row of the choir, that's okay with me.
You know the old barn, the
yep.
old Checker Dome, as it was
yep.
called, or the old arena?
Yeah.
You remember those limited view seats where you
now,
sat behind the
now
post?
At least
you were in the house.
Exactly. I was only in the Checker Dome one time before they tore it down. I haven't been here that long. But my wife, being a St. Louis native, still talks about going... Did they call it something else before they called it
the arena?
Dome? The arena.
Before we put, you know, fancy names like Scott Trades.
That's right. That's
it
right.
Was called. Let's grab another call.
Right. Thank you for your call, Ron.
Yes, thank you, Ron. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're next with a question about the Trinity. Go ahead.
Steve, where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Searcy, Arkansas, Tooney.
All right. It's my buddy and my former seminary classmate, Stephen McGay. God bless you, guy.
Well, how are you?
If I was any better, there'd have to be two of me, and you know they couldn't stand that.
That's a scary thought.
How are things in Searcy?
Just great.
I never hear from you, Steve.
Well, you went to the big leagues now. You're like the senior guy.
Steve, don't go there. It's good to hear from you,
Steve. Now, gentlemen, may I interrupt and say, we are talking about scripture here.
to
the subject.
All right. Okay, let's get back to the point. Hey, it's good to spend time with you guys searching the Word.
Thank you.
God bless you, Steve.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment about in the text about verses 10 and 11 there where Jesus is talking about, let me see here. Oh, I had that all picked out. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? You know, the only, we see here that Jesus makes known the character and the reality of the Father, not only by his words, but by his deeds.
Exactly.
And, you know, it's the truth of God that filled Jesus' words, and it's the power of God that produced his works.
Exactly.
And so, you know, the little story about the Sunday school boy who was painting a drawing a picture, and the teacher asked, what are you drawing? And he said, a picture of God. And she said, well, nobody's ever seen God. How could you know what he looks like? He said, they will when I get through.
Sure.
That's right.
Sure. And Steve, if I can pick up on that, that is us being Jesus to those who don't know him.
Absolutely.
It isn't us, it's him shining through us.
That's right.
Perfect, you know. Answer. Steve, I miss you.
The Sunday school student that said, you know, his mom asked him what the class was about today, and he said, the teacher said something about Jesus living in me. And he said, is that true? And his mom said, well, sure. And said, well, if that's the case, wouldn't he stick out? You know, Jesus sticks out through us.
Steve, how's your family? Did your daughter graduate?
Yes, she graduated.
What's she doing?
Right now, she's completing her year of internship in Fort Worth, Texas.
As a DCE?
As a DCE, yes.
Well, great. I'm glad to hear that. Your wife's doing okay?
Yeah, considering who she's got to live with.
And that's for sure. How about your sons?
Doing just great.
Great. It's wonderful to hear from you, Steve.
You know,
stay in touch, would you?
If you keep this, we're going to charge you long distance fees. Thank you, Pastor.
I love you, buddy. Hang in there.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's move on. Up next, Jim, good morning. Come on in, join the fun.
Hey, yeah. You got something going here this morning, brother. I'll tell you, you're worse than Chuck about opening a can of worms.
Jim, where are you calling from?
Fairmont City, Illinois.
Okay, what can we do for you? I appreciate your call.
I've been listening to people call in about ranks. And
yes.
What was the other word they used?
Levels. Levels in heaven.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the society of angels have their own society, there are ranks.
Yes, there are.
And if anybody thinks that they're going to rank above the Apostle Paul or the Apostle Peter.
I think they're barking up the wrong tree, don't you?
I sure do. And I think they're, even though the Apostle Peter says that we're a royal priesthood and that we're going to be kings and priests under God, I don't fully understand what that means, but I think that when Jesus told a parable about the man giving his servants five talents, three times one talent, that he gave them severally as they were able, according to their understanding, their education,
yes,
their knowledge, and so forth.
Sure.
And I may be wrong, but I kind of think that will be the way it will be in heaven.
Well,
you as a pastor, you are not at the top of your organization yet.
No.
You understand what I'm talking about?
You know what? I appreciate you saying that. Even as senior pastor at Trinity, I work for the Board of Elders, who works for the council, who works for the entire congregation. Let's face it, everybody works for somebody.
Everybody works for some, and even though may I make one more
absolutely
comment?
Sure.
We are all going to appear before the Bema seat of Christ, and our works will either be burned up or they will be tried as gold, and according to our works we will be rewarded for those works that stand, that are tried as fire. And like a like a soldier who wears a lot of ribbons on his chest.
Right.
And a lot of medals. Well, in the Second World War, I don't know what they mean now. I was in the Marine Corps during the Korean War. But I don't know what they all mean now. But Second World War, a ribbon and a star, color the ribbon and how many ribbons you had, meant how many engagements and battles you were in.
I'm former military. That still holds true. You're right.
And in heaven, I teach this, and I believe with all my heart, that what crowns you walk around with is what people are going to know you by and what kind of works you did on earth.
Well,
I didn't hear you.
No, I said I appreciate your position. Again, I just want to make sure that we realize that elsewhere in Scripture, good, even our very best works are described as filthy rags.
I'm not trying to say there that works are going to be our salvation.
No.
Paul says, even though a man's works, every one of them are burned up, yet by fire he will be saved.
Sure, sure.
But like a, I think I'm trying to make the point, like a soldier, you can tell what battles he was in.
I think that's a good point.
And I think what crowns we wear in heaven, I think that will tell a tale, don't you?
You know what? I think what's most important is that we know that Jesus wears the crown, and
yeah.
and he wears that by authority, not by appointment, but by earning it, literally earning it by paying and doing for us what we could not do for ourselves.
Amen. Praise God for that.
We really appreciate your call.
Thanks for the call. Oh, hey, also, especially during that Forgotten War, thank you for your service.
You betcha. Uh-huh. Thank you for your service. Thanks to all of our veterans.
See, this is why I read the text earlier. Look at the board. You've got a lot of questions coming here. Let's jump to...
All right.
Let's go to Joe. Joe, you are up next on the Bible study with Pastor Springer. Go ahead.
Good morning, Joe. Where are you calling from?
Car phone.
Okay.
And I didn't hear the whole conversation, so I apologize if this has already been gone over. But isn't the standard by which God judges the quality of works much different than our standard? Like, we look at the end result of our works, or the product of our works, and judge it by that.
Right.
Whereas God looks at whether it was done in faith or not in faith, doesn't he?
I think you hit it on the head.
Okay.
You know, there are good people who are doing good things who are not Christian. There's no doubt about that.
And that's the difference between what makes something good versus what makes something holy.
You're exactly right, because
I think Luther straightened that out.
I'm not saying don't do good works. That isn't what I'm saying. I'm saying good works don't save you. I'm saying that any good work that you or I do has to be as a direct result of what Jesus has done for us. It's our response, as limited as it can be, as hamstrung as it is. It's saying, by golly, I'm going to give this my best because Jesus gave me his best. There's no comparison, but I'm doing this for him.
Have you ever done any electrical work around your house?
Oh, don't talk to me about that.
You ever get the ground in the hot confusion?
I couldn't drive a nail. I don't mess with things like that. My wife keeps tools and sharp instruments away from me.
See, what we've been touching on, and we really haven't hit square on the head, is what happens when you take these two wires and you cross them, one called justification and one called sanctification, and you confuse the two.
You're in big trouble.
See, Dr. Robert Kolb and his colleague here at the seminary, Dr. Chuck Arend, wrote a great little book, The Genius of Luther's Theology. Not that I'm pushing books, it's Baker is the publisher. But they use, if you want to understand this, about what we do and why we do it, they use a great metaphor. We are the gloves on God's hands.
Exactly.
What do gloves do? Absolutely nothing. It's the hands
inside the gloves. It's him working through us, and it's us saying, you know, Jesus said, if you give a glass of water to somebody who's thirsty, it's as if we've given it to him, to Jesus himself. anything that we do has to be driven by our response for what he's done for us. As limited as we are.
Right.
And he blesses that. We don't do it expecting a blessing, but he blesses it.
Right. See, remember that scene at the end of time when they separate the sheep and the goats? What are the sheep? When did we do this stuff? We just thought we were living our life.
When you did it to the least of your brothers, you did it to me.
Let's grab a few more calls here. Okay, Dave, you are up. Dave just disappeared on us. Let's go ahead. He waited so long. I'm sorry, Dave.
Sorry about that,
Let's go to Rick. Rick is calling back again with another question. Go ahead.
Rick?
Yes, gentlemen. Our Lord, crown him with many crowns. And Jim was right about we receiving rewards. But Scripture says that we immediately lay them down.
At his feet. At his feet. God bless you. That's what I was waiting for. That's what I was waiting for, because let's go ahead with the rest of that song, Crown Him with Many Crowns, for he is Lord of all.
Amen.
You couldn't have hit it better. I couldn't have said it better myself.
Thank you, Rick.
No, thank you.
All right. That was right on the money. Perfect timing.
Absolutely perfect. Yeah.
We've got another call coming in real quick. So before we get to the next caller here on the Bible study...
Hang on, we're going to get to you.
We've got a couple of minutes... Oh, never mind.
Are they gone?
They changed their mind.
Okay.
You know, we must have answered their question.
We must have.
Yeah. So this Trinitarian thing, we're going to celebrate this on a couple of Sundays.
We sure are.
First we get to Pentecost.
Yep.
Like we said, wear your cardinal red.
That's right.
And we mean baseball cardinal red.
Oh, absolutely.
Not Roman cardinal red.
Well, I was going to wear one of those little red beanies, but I can't find one to fit on my big head.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Well, maybe the gift shop at the Vatican could help
I could check that out. I have a feeling that they won't have them at CPH.
We know the way. This is the big question that these disciples are asking at this moment. How do we find the way? Where is the way?
Well,
and I'm reminded that the early church was called...
The when Paul followers goes, of the way.
As Paul goes off to persecute the church.
You bet.
Yeah. How do we know the way?
Well, Pentecost is this Sunday, and apart from the work of the Spirit, we don't know the way. And we can't expect... You know, and that's what I'm going to preach on this weekend. We can't expect a rushing wind, and we can't expect little tongues of fire, and we can't expect me to be speaking a language that I have no clue about, but we know that the Holy Spirit is at work. That apart from Him, we can't know God. Apart from Him, we're alienated from God. He is the source of that truth, and will do anything and everything to step back to point to the cross. That's his J-O-B.
We have 1 minute left. Let's grab a quick call. Ed, make it quick, and we'll get Pastor to respond real
quick. Ed, where are you calling from?
Well, I'd rather not say right now.
That's all right.
My boss wouldn't like it.
All right. That's all right. What's your question?
Well, it wasn't the question so much as a comment. Jesus taught the disciples, he says, the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the one who serves. And he
right.
says, I have come to serve.
Absolutely.
So who's the greatest? Jesus is the greatest.
That's right.
Thank you, Ed.
Appreciate that, Ed.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to crowns, there's really only one that counts.
That's right.
The crown of life.
And
we are given that crown, not for anything that we do.
My confirmation text, my dad's confirmation text, Revelation 2:10, be faithful. Yours
too.
That was
too. My daughter's.
Your daughter's.
My daughter just confirmed.
Be faithful even unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Not a golden, you know, I've never been to the UK. I've never been to the tower to see the crown jewels. I don't think mine is going to look like those that are on display in the tower. But that crown of life is promised eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, who is the way and the truth and the life.
And the best part about that text, sitting down with my daughter, going through the catechism and scripture, she's already got it.
That's it.
You got it. You're baptized. You've got the crown of life. Just don't throw it away.
Exactly.
Pastor Marty Springer, all the best to the good folks at Trinity.
Thank
Ministries.
You.
Ministries.
Thank you. Roland, it's great to be with you today.
Thank you. Hey, Paul Clayton would be up next, but he's not here. I'm going to stick around and do Ask the Pastor. More questions about crowns? Now's the time to call in.
Listen Monday through Friday at this same time on The Bible Study. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download programs from the Bible Study Archives at KFUO.org. The Bible Study is underwritten by Concordia Seminary, St. Louis.